And then we'll read several other passages of Scripture having to do tonight with the word work. Now notice we're looking at seven reasons that we're compelled to work. Verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Are you looking forward to that tonight? Two people are. We ought to be looking forward to that change, that homecoming. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, preacher, I didn't see anything in there about works or working. Look at verse 58, if you would. We had to have the background to come to verse 58. Therefore, okay, because of what we just read, because we're going to put off corruptible and take on the incorruptible, because there's going to be a homegoing, listen to what it says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work. And I'm glad that that verse doesn't stop there. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The word work is used over 689 times in our Bible. 477 of those are in the Old Testament. 212 of those are in the New Testament. The phrase work of the Lord I find 129 times. 122 of those are in the Old Testament. Only 7 of those are in the New Testament. Listen to a few verses that talk about the work of the Lord and about work. 1 Corinthians 16:10, a page away from where you are. Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Colossians 1 and verse 10, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. John 6:28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? John 9 says in verse 3 and 4, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Matthew says in 13:58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And he says again in 16:27, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with the angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. I'm not going to read it all the way through tonight, but 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 10 through verse number 18 talk to us about those works as well. They start by saying this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. And when we come down to, he's talking about his working in here and the glory that comes to the Lord. Verse number 14 says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge. We'll look at that verse a little bit more in depth as we move through tonight. You have your bulletin there. Let's look together tonight as we focus on verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 says that we're laborers together with God. We're teams. The Goins went to Honduras as a team. There are three couples that are in this team. I, as a pastor, I was a little leery when he began to tell me about the teamwork they had. I have seen missionary teams before. And basically they rotate the off the field and on the field. And when they came home, here's what I was finding. Two missionary families showing the very same slide presentation and the very same people. And you have to wonder, are we accomplishing anything? Now, each part of the team, and they call it Team Honduras, each part of that team has a set thing that they're responsible to do. Because of that tonight, you see the pictures of this master church, or what we may call the mother church, but this is not their only church. They have established five other independent Baptist churches, and they have turned those over to nationals. And we didn't see tonight all of their properties and their buildings and their pastors and their people, but they're there. That's why the scripture says we are laborers together with God. Now, I believe we are compelled to work together, and let's look at some reasons for that. We see, first of all, I think we're compelled to work together and this work of the Lord because of the scope of the assignment, the extent of the area, the matter, the subject matter that we have at hand. We look at that. We look at the opportunity or the possibility to deal with something when we're looking at scope. You've all heard of a telescope. And what does a telescope do? I've never used one very much at all, but a telescope looks out into space and it brings things that are large and far away into close. You've heard of a microscope, right? The microscope, what does it do? It takes the small, minute particles. It's amazing that they can take a cell of blood and put it beneath a microscope, and they can see that. Now we look at the scope of our assignment. What is the scope of our assignment? Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 28, both of those places talk about it. And he said unto them, go ye into what? All the world. Wow. That's pretty expansive. Matt Herbster left the other day, and he was going with Camps Abroad, a ministry of the wild, and he was flying to do a camp for a week in Hong Kong. And from where he left, 29 hours on a plane. That's 22 hours more than I want to spend on a plane. 29 hours. Now, I'm not talking about he stopped four times in the United States and had a five-hour layover in Atlanta and one here and there. A 29-hour flight. Well, that sounds bad, but did you know it took Brother Don Sisk and his family, when they first went, they took a boat. They went on ship. And it took between 2.5 and 3 months for them to get there. And that's about 3 or 4 months longer than I want to spend on a boat. But when we stop and think of these, when he said this, that we are, go ye into all the world, that's a huge scope. But then notice what he says, and preach the gospel to, somebody help me, every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not going to happen without labor. That's not going to happen without work. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. First, we're compelled by the scope of our assignment. Reseeding America. I gave you the statistic early in the month. They say that 83% of the population of the United States lives in metropolitan areas. Sonia and I, at the beginning of the month, were in Wyoming, and you know that we have put much emphasis on the church that has been established there. It's just found a deep place in my heart. The Wild West city of Burns, population 301. And now the church property that they bought and they're meeting in is 6 miles away in the vast city of Hillsdale. Population 200. The next city that Nathaniel is going to be going to, Medicine Bow, 2.5 hours away, a city of 300. Now, do you remember when Nick Stelzik stood before us and he presented the area that God had called him to, Boston? Now, in Boston proper, there are 700,000 people in Boston proper. But the city of Boston is really made up of seven counties that surround the city. And there are literally millions of people. We were in California when we went to West Coast. And we came into the city limits of Los Angeles. And it said, you're welcome to Los Angeles, California. Population, 3,800,000 and some thousand people. Pretty vast. What am I telling you all of this for? And we can look tonight at the city of Woodbridge and College Park and Harrisonburg and Easton and Tallahassee, Florida, and the list could go on and on of all the churches that we have helped to get established. Well, the scope is this: going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That has to compel us to do the work. Look at number two, if you would. The singular focus of our message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says it this way: for other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We have some 120 missionaries. What is it that they all have in common, and you and I should have in common? Every one of them are different. I'd say it if they were here tonight. You've got Brother Goins, who's a tremendously hard worker. And then you've got somebody like Brother Canavan, who is in Ireland. And if you took tonight, if you took Matt Goins into Ireland, he'd go nuts. Because what Brother Canavan has found is it's slow. It's a slow work. You have to earn the respect to be heard among the people that are there. And then we've got a missionary family that has come off the field now. She passed away. And he had to come off for medical reasons. And Brother Mantonia, he and his wife lived the last 15 years of their life. And I'm talking about until 2016. They lived in a grass hut way back in Brazil, and they had one solar panel on top of their house, and they had, I think it was 8 tractor trailer batteries flown in to run that solar power just to keep a dormitory sized refrigerator that they could house Brother Hank's heart medicine in because it had to remain cold. But yet, on the other hand, we've seen missions presentations of modern day cities. All of those things are vastly different, but what is it that's the same? Our message. Our missionaries have talked to us about different tools that they use. Paul Johnson the other night was talking to us, they sent our church directly a greeting, and he brought up his cookie party. I like that kind of church. I'm not a big cake person. I'm a big person, just not a big cake person. I would go to a church with a cookie party. You know what they found? That those people are interested in an American tradition. And the recipe, and I don't understand it all, I'm going to find out when they come home, but the recipe that they have, every ingredient in the recipe they use as a representation of a verse of Scripture, so the whole time they are showing them a tradition, they're showing them the gospel. English is a second language. Medicine. Now what Matt didn't say, because this happened after our video got to us, they just finished a one-month-long clinic there, medical clinic with the surgical staff. And they saw 4,000 patients, 3,900-some patients. But yet they saw 890-some came to know Christ as personal Savior. Their method is a little different. You don't see some of our other missionaries with a medical clinic, nor do you see them with a hospital on their church property. But that opens the door. But the message is still the same. The singular focus of the message, Jesus Christ. One of the craziest things I've ever seen is raising missions money for chainsaws. We did it for David Coltrane. And we got chainsaws in their hands after the tsunami. And they were able to cut wood from all the trees that were down and rebuild their church building and national homes and members' homes. Water purification on the island of Nias, but it allowed us the opportunity to put Tom Crawford there with the gospel. Tonight, five churches are planted on the island that was barren of churches before that. What do they all have in common? We have the same message. So we ought to be compelled to work by the scope. We ought to be able to be compelled to work by the message. Number three, by the principles of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. They were all working toward the same goal. Now, I've got to stop long enough to say this tonight. Not every religion leads to heaven. And not every church has a message that leads to heaven. That's why we've got to make sure that the message is right. But the principle of Scripture is that we work together. Our nursery workers tonight are a tremendously valuable part of our church. And if you don't believe it, let's just bring all the children in here Sunday morning. Our nursery has been having between 15 and 19 on Sundays. Let them in here and we'll probably hear a little speaking in tongues. But every one of us have a part. The principles of the Scripture, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Number four, the love of God. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And here is a key word that is small in print, but astronomically huge in meaning. That ye love one another as I have loved you. I'm going to, Sunday morning, Lord willing, and unless the Lord changes my mind on it, I'm going to preach a message entitled, How Much Do You Have to Hate Somebody? The Bible, we are commanded to love one another. That's hard. But we're to love one another as I have loved you. The truth is we need to, number one, love each other in here and in the church. But we better get a love for the lost. We have to have a love for the lost. Let's be real tonight. Ask ourselves the question, do we love everyone? Now, if we love everyone, I've said it for years, love is the greatest motivator. In a few days, from what I understand, it's going to be Valentine's. And love will motivate people to do some crazy things. Men will pay four times for roses what the roses are worth. But it's okay. Because what you're saying is the worth of your wife. Love motivates. Love always exhibits itself. Whether in a small way or a large way. Here's what the Bible says. By this shall all men know that you're my what? Disciples. By this is what it's saying. By this shall all men know that you're Christians. If ye love one another. If ye love one another. That's the proof to the world. Now this, we're talking about the love of God, not the love of man. I've told folks for years in our church, if you're teaching Sunday school because you love kids, you're teaching Sunday school for the wrong reason. If you sing in the choir because you love music, you're singing for the wrong reason. We read a few moments ago from Corinthians and it says this, the love of God constraineth us. What was our text? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Number five, the commonality of the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And I'm not going into, our moments are about gone, I'm not going into tonight an illustration about what this is saying, one body, but the importance of the function of every member of the body is important. Joyce Biggs has been on our prayer list for many months now. Somebody tell me what the problem is. Okay, now, hold on. I heard one person say what I was looking for. It said, preacher, she had a knee replacement done. Her knee's the problem. Her knee is not the problem. The replacement's not the problem. The block that they had to put in, that's not the problem. The problem's in her blood. It's the infection that's in her blood. And because of the one issue with the blood, it spreads out and puts all the other symptoms out. I have said for a long time, and medically I'm backed up on this, when I hear that someone has different forms of cancer, I usually, in my mind, think treatable, curable. They can do something with that kind of cancer. But very honestly, when someone says pancreatic cancer, I've known very few times that that's ever been treatable. You think, well, I could live without my pancreas. Because it supplies all of the other organs, that which is needed. So we have to see the commonality of the Holy Spirit with us. That one Spirit that dwells within us all and gives us purpose. Number six, the identification of the true enemy. A lot of Christians today are fighting the wrong enemy. They've turned their weapons on each other. We spend too much time and too much energy disputing with each other. The real enemy is Satan. And we find in Ephesians it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not each other, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And number seven tonight to finish out with this, the reality that the only kingdom we are to build is God's. There's a lot of people today in our world who all of their attention is on building their life. I can mention to you tonight a number of different people of fame. We went to the wedding for Jeremy and Sarah, otherwise known as Danny and Sarah. It was just outside of Nashville. I was in the motel room looking through different stuff that's in Nashville. And it listed off a star, a music star whose mansion was not far from where we were. And it talked about the star and how they built and all that they did and all the work and all the labor and all the concerts and all the tours and all the staff that was hired, and all that was done, they build and build and build and build to get and get me and get me and get me. And I thought, be interesting to see that mansion. But in the bottom paragraph, it totally changed. And it said, for the second time in its history, the mansion has burned to the ground. And all that is there is the concrete slab. Now, the star has since died. But all of his years of labor to get. And I began to think, his children walk back out to the place that they grew up. And there's nothing there. And what we find out that much of his life was that way. Because he lived all about me. The reality is, Christians, and as we finish this January up, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves His servants. The only mission that we're given in our lives is to build the kingdom of God. Nowhere are we given the commission to build for us, but to build for Him. Remember what the Scripture said about that? This is our reasonable service because of all that Christ has done for us. Let's bow together for prayer tonight. We are committed.